Hey everyone, I'm Jay.
And I'm Scott, and welcome to Witches Betwixt.
Today, we are going to be talking about coming out.
Coming out.
Coming out. Coming out as a queer person who practices witchcraft is sort of like a twofold thing. So you have your coming out as being queer, gay, whatever that may, whatever falls under that, you know, umbrella term for you.
Right.
And then you have coming out as, you know, as a practitioner of witchcraft or as Wiccan or pagan or whatever.
Alternative.
Some sort of
spirituality or faith.
Yeah. So, first I think we're going to cover, you want to cover the witchy part first?
Or let's cover the queer part first.
I feel like that's probably a better idea.
Yeah. I mean, you mind if I go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, coming out as queer was honestly pretty easy for me. I went to a very open-minded high school, very liberal in thought. It was very artistic, and so high school was pretty great as far as the queer thing goes. As far as coming out to my family, to my mom, for instance, that was pretty easy. My mother, it was more just like, how do I put this? She just worried about how difficult life is for queer people. She was worried about, like, gay bashing. She was worried about, you know, losing jobs because I'm gay, you know, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you have a slightly, or sometimes not slightly, but just it's a harder go at life.
Yeah, and, like, she was also, you know, she had an idea of what my life would be like, you know. She thought grandkids and I would have a wife. And
yeah.
I mean, I, you know, me and my partner would like kids one day. It's just, it's with a male. Man, blah.
Yeah, but you have a male partner. Right. I don't know why I struggled with.
Yeah, me either. It was weird. It's just today. I think it's the weather. But when it came, yeah. So how about you? As far as coming out,
I mean, coming out was because we kind of covered some of this in like in our introductory episode.
Mm-hmm.
But coming out for me was actually a twofold experience because first I came out as like bisexual, but that was for a very brief period of time. And then I came out as a lesbian, and I really just, I carried that like super butch identity is like really, that was like my thing. That was, I'm a butch lesbian. And then, in my 20s, I don't remember now exactly how long I've been out as trans. I don't remember. Three, 4 years? Something like that? Roughly? Something like that. I'm 27 now, so that's how math works. I don't know. 23, 24?
Something.
Whatever. But it wasn't until my, I would say, mid-20s, I was living on my own, that I started to come into my trans identity. And I mean, there was always a trail of breadcrumbs, like, since I was a kid and stuff, but I, you know, if you're tomboyish, you're just a lesbian, you know what I mean?
It
doesn't always translate to being trans. Now, younger parents might see those signs with their kids.
I think it's happening more, I mean, as far as, like, for people that are experiencing different having different gendered experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I actually just watched a documentary on Netflix about that. And it just seems like more parents are becoming, well, more liberal parents mm-hmm. are becoming more aware of different gendered experiences.
Yeah, you know, like if your little girl is playing with, you know, I don't know. I was going to say G.I. Joe, but is that really even relevant right now?
I mean,
I played with Star Wars guys. I call them my Star Wars guys. Like,
yeah.
Little action figures. But I don't know. I mean, like, if your kid is doing things that are not typical of their assigned gender, then I think some younger parents are more inclined to be like, well, maybe they're not just gay, like maybe they're actually trans.
Right.
But for me, like it was a twofold experience because I had come out at like when I was in my early teens, and then I'm still coming out in my late 20s. I'm officially in my late 20s because I'm 27.
So am I.
We're official.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. mm. Mm. So, Yeah, that's sort of like a twofold thing. So I am out to most of my friend circle.
Mm-hmm.
I am out to some of my family. And yeah, I'm out to some family, basically my parents. I'm not really out to.
Mm-hmm.
Which was difficult because Mother's Day just passed. And I was hanging out with my mom, and I was catching her up on my life. And it was hard to talk about myself using female pronouns. And not my preferred name.
Yeah.
It was very difficult. I was like, but, and I felt really alien, like, total disassociate. But anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's also another thing I'm going through, but that's not entirely related to coming, well, it is related to coming out, because I'm not out to her.
Right.
So,
I mean,
it's difficult to navigate that. But yeah, that's essentially who I'm out to. But what I'm curious to really explore in this particular episode is the process of coming out as queer versus the process of coming out as a witch.
Right.
Is it different? Is it the same?
So, now, I guess to kind of lead into that for me, as far as the witchcraft thing is concerned, I think for a lot of people, when you come out of the broom closet, as it were, it's more seen as a choice, where being queer is not a choice at all. It's in your DNA. It's who you are. It's biology.
Yeah, I haven't really thought of it that way.
However, people see, in general, they see religion as something you choose. Now, I do not see witchcraft as religious. So, for me, I view witchcraft as almost like an entity, something living inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
You have, if you are a witch, you have no choice but to be.
Yeah, because I feel like you'll always have that calling.
The calling, right, mm-hmm. right. And that's kind of exactly what I'm talking about. In a lot of ways, I talked to my mother about that, who is a very devout liberal Catholic. And she understands
the
idea
cool,
of the...
She's one of the cool ones.
Hence the liberal.
Yeah.
You know, I talk to her about that, about, like, you know, the priesthood. I say it's the same feeling.
Right.
You know, you're drawn to it.
Yeah, because I actually went to school with a guy who wanted to become a Catholic priest.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a Catholic university.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he wanted to be a priest. I think he's actually doing it. Like, he's working on it.
And what you call it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, of course, now when I first started, I did not have the vocabulary for something like that.
No.
It
was like, I'm a witch and you have to accept that I'm Wiccan.
Right. Right. I had, you know,
I'm Wiccan and I have feelings.
Right. So it really was, you know, at that point, just, you know, trying to get people to understand that, no, it wasn't just like a bad Halloween. No, it wasn't, you know, a defiant, like, thing. I genuinely felt...
Like, what's that, it's like a meme or something, where it's like, sorry, I was late to church, I was busy...
Oh, practicing witchcraft and becoming a lesbian?
Becoming a lesbian.
Yeah.
That's what you were doing.
I mean, it's so many people, you know, they automatically think that it's just to be counterculture.
Well, also, because... And this is another topic that we will definitely get into, like pop culture paganism or
mm-hmm.
pop culture witchcraft. But I think pop culture really plays into that.
Oh, definitely.
Because,
I mean,
like,
on
the
all
craft,
of the...
like the movie The Craft, which is a fantastic movie.
It is. It's
I
like
love
one
it.
Of my faves.
It is, because it's got some truth in it. Like, it's got some
yeah.
real shit in it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like at least in my coming out experience as a witch, it was like, oh, bubble, bubble, toil and trouble, like, that kind of thing. And I was like, no.
Yeah.
Like Mary in the Mirror or whatever, Bloody Mary.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah,
that
yeah.
kind of, like, party games.
I mean, but you want to know something that's totally a way in, even though I find that party games like that are mind over matter. I remember the
yeah.
one time where I thought I felt something, and maybe you do. Because, you know, I have the belief that magic is kind of 50% psychology, 50% spiritual.
Yeah.
not divorced of each other. It's not any less magical. It's just, I did the light as a feather, stiff as a board.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did, like, one finger, like mm-hmm. that, and we lifted. And I gotta say that, I mean, it felt like something, but it really is the repetition. And as psychologists know that human beings...
it's an incantation.
Right, and yeah. it puts you into a state to where you're able to just focus on that and do that as a team.
Mm-hmm.
But however, is that to say that that kind of concentration, that kind of ritual, if you will, didn't put you in some type of state? Maybe that is magic, is what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least maybe that's a form of magic. That's, I think, more accurate, I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
But witchcraft for me, when it came to coming out, I don't really remember verbatim how that happened. I remember sitting in catechism,
yeah,
and I remember not really understanding, not really being interested. I had, you know, the church I went to was pretty old. I remember having some paranormal experiences in the church, and I remember saying to myself, I'm like, but you, like, and I remember we got to a part in catechism, you know, where it talks about, you know, going to mediums and how that's, you know, against mm. God or whatever, and I'm like, I didn't choose to see ghosts. I didn't choose to be clairvoyant.
Right. Yeah.
That chose me. And so that never felt fair. It wasn't like I worked on it. I just, my father has, you know, has it. My grandmother had it. It's kind of like...
So you didn't choose the witch life?
I was going to say that, but
the
I didn't want to be...
Chose
I
you.
Totally was going to leave it to you to dude bro the heck out of it.
Oh, and I did.
But... When I told my mom, it really was about, like, she was all about throwing open portals, which
mm-hmm.
we could totally see there, where the pop culture
mm-hmm.
plays into that.
Even though there is a portal in your basement.
Which I inadvertently did kind of begin to stir due to my ability to draw upon.
It's funny that she was like, which makes me wonder if your mom has some sort of, like, sensitivity.
My mom
as well.
Is, oh, my mom will tell you she's sensitive. She doesn't
yeah.
feel like she's a medium like I am.
Because maybe she, like, felt the seed of that portal there, and then she's like, don't open portals.
Yeah.
And then you were like, ta-da!
Look what I can do!
I have opened a portal. Oops! My bad.
What's this button do?
Do not press.
You press, like, into the aether.
And young witch you was probably like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I was a lot scarier back then. I didn't really like to get too involved
now
in that.
You've calmed down in your old age.
I'm just not as scared. I didn't really calm down. I'm just like, listen, spirits.
Listen,
I'm in charge here. Line up.
You got time for your shit.
That. But no, I mean, that was pretty easy too. Honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, both of my coming out experiences, as far as being queer and as far as being a witch, were pretty easy. And then the older I got, the more my vocabulary grew, and I was able to articulate what being a witch meant for me. So
yeah,
for me,
you're able to explain yourself more.
Witchcraft
yeah.
is like, there's an article that explains exactly what I think, which I do have pulled up on my phone.
A
give
reference?
Me one. Give me one second, everybody. I should have just had this up, but I was stupid.
That's all good.
Witch Blood, The Magical Orientation.
Oh,
by,
we talk about this a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. By a wonderful witch named Matt Aaron. Matt, if I butchered your last name, don't kill me.
Mm.
Not that you'll see this.
Well, we could also do, you know, that, like, typical YouTuber thing. Link in the description.
Yeah, we could.
Yeah, we
and
could.
We probably should. Yeah, yeah, totally.
And I'll put that in the SoundCloud description. SoundCloud. SoundCloud. The hell?
Right.
Yeah, I'll put it in there, too.
This article really just runs down exactly what I just said, witchcraft as an orientation. It is almost as if I am homosexual magical or majo-homosexual.
So you would say that your opinion on being a practitioner of witch or being a witch, okay, so that identity as a witch, so what you're saying is that just as you did not choose to be gay, you also did not choose to be a witch.
That, correct.
Okay.
Oh, exactly. I was so drawn, like, by hands unseen brought to the spirit world. I mean, other than my experience as a child with seeing things and having visionary experiences and things like that. It was just, you know, my research into the paranormal, because I really want to understand, why is it when I touch an old object do I see things? Why is it that I know things about people that they never told me? And eventually, I mean, even as a child, you can kind of catch on to things like that. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, when people are like, oh, how did you
have some otherness to you. You have
right.
Some, like, some
I also realized that something that used to happen when I was young, people were very nervous around me.
Mm.
And it was funny. I used to read a lot that people get nervous around you because they sense how the veil around you is thinner.
Mm.
So that makes them uncomfortable. Even if they themselves are not sensitive, the other world comes with a presence. I mean, you can't miss it. If you practice ritual magic of any kind,
mm-hmm.
whether it's ecstatic or ceremonial, you feel it. You feel the other world. It's encompassing, and it's in your mind, it's in your heart, it's in your soul. It just reverberates out of you and into
mm-hmm.
you. It's all at the same time. And that's kind of a feeling that I've read a lot of people would get, and I've had that experience with people telling me that.
Mm-hmm.
That there was something different about me, but I don't know what it is. And it's funny, because at the same time, those some of these people were the same people that told me I was gay before I knew that I was gay.
Yeah.
Not in the nicest way possible.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they told me I was gay by calling me the F word. But,
yeah.
Like...
Lovely.
They were also the ones that are like, oh, you're weird. There's just something different about you. And the irony is, you know, yeah, I'm very
you're right.
different.
Like, you're
yeah.
right. I am very different. I kind of would tend to agree with you in terms of, like, you don't choose to be a witch.
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar to being queer. But I could also see the other side of it as well. I think I could probably argue against it. But no, I think for me, I think it's just anyone who does practice witchcraft in particular, I think they are drawn to it for a reason. And
mm-hmm.
so that kind of really ties into how you were saying, you know, like, you know, basically the concept of the witch blood, the witch fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not like, I come out from a long line of witches. Like, no, I'm not talking about that. It's just there's
yeah.
something in you. There's the witch blood, the witch fire. That is inside you, and you see something with a certain aesthetic or a certain concept just really rings true. Like, the idea of a god and a goddess,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not talking about from a witchcraft perspective, but I'm just like, from a religious perspective, the concept of a god and a goddess, that really drew me in. So that was my draw into it. My draw into witchcraft was through Wicca, but...
Yeah, same.
When I started getting to the actual witchcraft part, I was just like, there is just something about just feeling the coolness of, like, Earth. Like, how it's hot as hell in the summer, but, like, you just a little bit down, you dig just a little bit down, and it's so cool
mm-hmm.
and, like, fresh and like moist. So I guess I was really in touch with the just like the natural energy part of it, because I'm definitely not super sensitive to things like spirits and like the things that you are sensitive
yeah.
to. Like, I can kind of like get an idea, like, I can kind of get an idea that, like, oh, there might be a presence in here. I'm getting vibes. I'm getting feelings. But I can't just be like, yeah, there's a something in the corner over there. Like, I can't do that. But I am definitely very in touch with, like, when it rains. Like just the natural things.
Like a hypersensitivity.
Like a hypersensitivity, yeah. Like it is raining, like, all week here, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I am both living for it, but I also feel like I'm drowning just in all of this, like... energy.
It's funny that you say that, because, like, I'm pretty...
That storm we had the other day was wicked.
I loved it. Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, me too. I
was like, oh my god, I gotta get my stuff on my altar and, like, charge it. And
mm-hmm.
I was like, by the window. Like, just placing it all there, but, and I think that might come from when I was a kid, I wanted to be a meteorologist.
Hmm.
But not, like, news meteorologist. Like, I wanted to, like, go sit in a lighthouse and,
like
record
study
waves. Yeah.
Stuff.
So that might be, like, my origin point. I don't know, but I am just very in tune with, you know, the rhythms of nature, I guess, which is also weird because we live in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
you know. But yeah. I'm also in tune with the rhythms of the city as well.
You want to know something? I struggle with that immensely.
Really?
I do.
You live like a stone's throw from Center City.
And I struggle. I struggle. I had an ex-partner who once tried to, and I mean, I get it. I get the principle of it. It's more like tapping into the energies. You know, he discussed like in City Hall, you know, that presence inside of City Hall?
Yeah, it's creepy.
He identified that, and I completely agree with him, that creepy presence, it's the spirit's a place there. It's god of the city, kind of living in that place, which is a very old animist idea, which I love because I am very much an animist.
Yeah.
That probably is almost more encompassing than my polytheism.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do struggle with that a little bit just because I find that there are witches who like are perfectly fine in the city.
Yeah.
I just find for me that I kind of have to do more to connect in the city. Like, I could do cemeteries in the city. I can connect there. I could do things like that due to the cemeteries and graveyards and things like that being, a big entry point into the other world.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah. I don't
want
to go too far.
I know, because I feel like I want to do a whole podcast. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah.
Urban witchcraft. Because that is my kink. but yeah, that's really a great idea. Let me not go on a tangent on that right now.
It's all right.
But bringing it back into coming out. So you are out to basically everyone as gay.
Yep.
Are you out to basically everyone as a witch?
You know what? I probably do something. No, I mean, there are, like, I have one family member who is a born-again Christian, and it's a thing in my family where I know to tuck in my pentacle, I know to tuck in my very obvious occult.
Just to not make waves.
Right. There's no point. It's not really that, and, you know, with her, it doesn't offend me, like, although it would offend me with some other people.
Yeah.
But it's just really because, like, you just roll your eyes and
You don't want to deal with it.
Yeah, just because like I'm not gonna sit here and debate with you about this. I'm not.
Exactly.
But everyone else, they know. My family, most of my family, especially my uncles, they all think it's like, you know,
cute
bullshit. I mean, cute maybe. Yeah. They think they thought it was cute when I was young.
And now it's just like, really?
You're still into that? They take it like, I think because they knew that I was a huge Harry Potter fan when I was younger.
Yeah.
And they think it's just, like, I loved Harry Potter too much.
Yeah. No,
and I'm kind of like, my love for Harry Potter, which is complete fantasy, and my drawn-ness to the occult and witchcraft and sorcery are not...
Totally different.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think a lot of witches love fantasy topic. I mean, I really don't listen to my uncles. They crack jokes. They do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to know something? My mom takes it very seriously.
Which is good.
Which is really, I mean, I live with my mother, so that's all that really matters, as long as I'm not stepping on her toes, you know? And I don't at all. She actually relies on, you know, her consistent prayer of the rosary and my wards around the house and stuff, just because of how weird things can get around here sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, Philadelphia is just a very old city.
It is. It is incredibly
old. It's old, so, I mean, there's a lot of activity.
And a lot, and in South Philly, we're so close to Passyunk Avenue, which was a Native American walkway, and all of this was marshland.
Yeah.
And in parapsychology, I know, like, a lot of occult practitioners don't really like parapsychology, however, I think it's fascinating. They say that, like, things like water, places where there's water, stagnant water, large bodies of deep water, etc., which is what all of this was. It was all marsh.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah,
and marshes
the
throughout.
Airport is still marsh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, a lot of that, even in folklore and history, marshes were places, they were liminal places.
Mm-hmm.
Places between here and there. There were places where the fairy folk existed, you know, the good neighbors. There were places where will-o'-wisp would lure you to drown and other such creatures.
Nice.
You know, so they were entry points into the spirit world.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense that this area is a little active.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like I was saying, though, as far as, like, coming out as a witch, my mom and I kind of use both of our, I use my sorcery, she uses her faith, and we kind of make sure the house is warded, and we kind of do, like, if we're going through a rough patch with something, we do workings and we pray on it, and we make stuff, you know, manifest for ourselves. So
really
it's kind of cool.
So you work together.
In a way, yeah. No, maybe not necessarily always actively, but we make sure that we're kind of on the, yeah.
I mean, so then I guess you could say, like, in your experience then overall, like, you didn't have, it was not difficult for you to come out as a witch.
No.
It was not super difficult for you to come out as gay.
No. I was still scared.
Yeah.
But,
definitely.
It was really easy, actually. I mean, in comparison, it was really easy.
Yeah.
To some other people.
Yeah, I mean, I think coming out as, trans is going to be the most difficult, like,
yeah,
with my parents.
Yeah.
Coming out as a witch was not that difficult for me. It wasn't because my mom really took it like a joke, like back to that pop culture,
yeah,
like paganism thing. You know, she was like, I used to do the Wicca thing when I was younger, and I was like, oh, well, what did you do? And she was like, well, you know, you're not supposed to say, and pricked our fingers, and Bloody Mary, and I was like, oh, okay, Mom. Like, I let her have her moment, and, because for me, I was simultaneously finding the religion as well as the practice of witchcraft.
I mean, I did as well.
And,
I mean,
it was just, like, a simultaneous thing. And for a while, I had a hard time, keeping the two separate. I had a really hard time keeping the two separate. But I think the hardest thing for me is when I came out as gay, like, I definitely did the whole, like, set, like, to each friend, I was like, I'm gay, and they were like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and then you're kind of like, well, way to downplay it, but
yeah,
also at the same time, you're like, well, thank God, like, you don't hate me.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember being out as a witch was a lot harder for me.
Really?
And I went to public school, so you would think it was, like, not an issue. But basically, everyone was either Catholic, some derivative of Christian, or Jewish. Like, there was no, or Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of Muslim kids. But that was it. You know what I mean? It was, like, the big three, I guess you want to call it.
Very Abrahamic,
yeah. Yeah, all the Abrahamic ones. So I remember, it was a friend of mine, we were sitting in this computer class that we had in the morning, and, you know, we're working on some project or whatever, and she was very Christian. I forget which, like, subsect of that she was, but she was very, very devout Christian, and she was actually the one that I definitely had, like, a crush on, and we weren't friends after that got all divulged.
Yeah.
But, anyway, so I remember her talking, and she was trying to be open about, like, the path that I was going down. She was worried because, you know, she was like, oh, but
the devil.
And this and that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I understand, but, like, I don't even believe in a devil, so how can he corrupt me if I don't even think he's real, you know? And she was like, all right, well, I just want you to be safe and, like, just think about it. But there was a point where we were talking about the concept of the afterlife. You know, like, what happens when you die? So
yeah,
she was like, well, she was very much, it's either heaven or hell, and it's all contingent on the life that you have led. And I was like, okay, that's fair. And I don't like the Wiccan concept now, but basically the concept of the Summerlands. It sounds so fucking new age. Like, it kills me now. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we will meet again in the summer lands. Like, but it is a beautiful concept. A land of
it
eternal
is.
Summer.
Which
is gorgeous.
Which, ironically, is actually what always turned me off from that, because I was like, a land of, like, my least favorite season. I was like, nope, I want to go to a land of eternal fall, and that is all I'm going to accept.
A land of eternal pumpkin spice latte.
Exactly that. A land where, like, every store has cardigans.
It's a Halloween town.
Exactly. All the time. Like, when someone was like, Summerland, eternal summer, I was like, it's all hell? There's no heaven?
Well, I think that it really comes from, like, British traditional witchcraft. Because even, like, in the summer in, like, the British Isles, it can't be... I don't think it's that warm. Like, I'm sure it gets warm, but I don't...
Well, they get really muddy
where we are, it's, like, super fucking humid. Like, yeah. We go from, like, 60 degrees to 90. Like,
which we've done.
Which we've done
already.
In the past 3 days, yeah. Global warming is not real, apparently. Apparently. Yeah, whatever. Anyway. So, I said, she goes, well, what happens when you die? And I said, I go to this, what they call the Summerlands, and she laughed in my face. She went, ah, that is so stupid, and blah, 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 blah. She was rolling, like, tears. And I was like, oh, my God. But I was already struggling with the concept of calling it the Summerlands, because there was also this show on TV called Summerland.
There was a show
called
Summerland.
It was like Summerland. Some Dawson's Creek-esque fucking bullshit. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I remember being incredibly embarrassed. Now my view on the afterlife, I don't necessarily believe... Like I said, I've moved away from the whole Wiccan thing.
Right.
I'm just a witch, right. You know. Right. But I definitely do believe that there is... I do believe just, you know, our spirit goes on... But I'm really behind, like, reincarnation. Like, I think that we come back. Like, we are recycled repeatedly.
I think we'll definitely get into a video about that.
Yeah, for sure. But at the time, I was just like, oh my God. So, at that point, me being a witch was basically a joke. Mm. After that, it was like, oh, Harry Potter. Like, when the new Harry Potter book came out, they were like, is this, like, your Bible? And I'm like, fuck you. Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself, okay? Go fucking And, you know, the thing is I was still very Wiccan, so yeah. I wasn't even, like, curse a bitch and hex a hoe at that point.
Yeah.
I wasn't there. I am there now. I have
<She's>
grown.
He's home, she's sorry.
Matured. Because of you. I have definitely matured. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I will fuck your shit up now. But then I was like, peace and love and light, which is not a terrible thing to preach at all. Peace and love and light. It's not the worst, but it's also
no.
like...
I mean, it's something to strive for.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You should be striving in general. You should be striving to be a decent human being.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? Like, you don't... I don't want to go off too much off topic, but, mm-hmm. like, just to real quick touch base on that, just because I don't want them to get the wrong idea about us. Don't...
Yeah, no, we're not the type that we just have, like rifle through the book of curses at all times. It's just, like...
I think I was just talking to a friend of mine, and I said, you know, I'm not really one for karma, the threefold law. It's never been in my experience. However...
I do believe in karma in the sense of, like, I think whatever you put out there will eventually make its way back to you.
Isn't that, like,
way.
Also, like, a scientific principle? Like, the, you
I
know,
guess.
Like, a reaction every...
For every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction.
Yes.
Yeah.
I guess,
so,
I mean,
that makes
sense. Because,
like, if you're a good person, you know, you could totally get fucked by something. Like,
but at the same time, it's really about what you will and will not put up with.
Yeah.
Understanding that you are allowed to have...
Do no harm, but take no shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're allowed to have your own boundaries. You're allowed to, you know...
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go too much into that. We'll talk about that
mm-hmm.
in another episode as well. But, as like I said, just not to sound like broken records, for me, coming out both ways, pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
For you?
And for me, it was easy in some ways and not so easy in others. I think what made it... Fortunately, I was not, like... It wasn't like, burn the witch, stone the witch. It wasn't like that. It was just like, that's a load of garbage. Ha ha. And, which, looking back on it, was probably the best outcome. Because I really did not want stone the witch, burn the witch.
Yeah.
At all.
No one, I mean, yeah.
No one wants
that.
That
sucks, yeah.
I mean, some people like being persecuted. But, whatever. not my kink. So, yeah, but I want to sort of close this out with one other concept. So I would like to explore when we come out, do we come out for ourselves, or do we come out for other people?
Mm.
So, I think I'll just kind of lay out my.
Yeah, take you on the definitely subject, have. Yeah.
I have opinions. So I have. So when I came out, basically to my friend circle as lesbian or even trans, I basically just did this thing where I left this like trail of breadcrumbs on Facebook. And I changed my name, or I changed my preference, or whatever the hell I did at the time. And I didn't make some big post like, dear friends and family, this is the thing, you know, I understand if you don't love me anymore, or whatever the case is. I didn't do that.
Right.
And I didn't want to, because I kind of have this sort of issue with the concept of coming out, because I feel like we don't come out for ourselves all the time. Like, I feel that way. That we don't come out for ourselves, we come out for other people. We come out for other people seeking their validation of, I am other, please don't hate me. And I think it's sort of this, like, cishet social construct that was created, not intentionally, because, you know, I guess you could say the majority of the world is, you know, cisgender, heterosexual, mm-hmm. I mean, at least, you know, on the surface. So I feel like it's this sort of social construct put in place by, well, you're other, so you have to tell us. You have to tell us if you're other, or else we don't know what to do with you. We don't know how to categorize you or where to place you.
Mm.
It's almost like coming out as trans, where it's like, well, you have to tell me that you're trans. Because I need to know what's in your pants. You know, it's just, it's like, well, no, you really don't. All, I mean, you could know that I'm trans, but you don't necessarily have to know, like, what's in my pants or right. anything like that. So I just have this sort of distaste for coming out. Like, coming out can be a very beautiful, rewarding experience. Mm-hmm. It can be. It can also be utterly devastating for some people, which is why I feel like we don't necessarily do it for our own self-empowerment, but I feel like we do it just seeking validation. And that might be an unpopular opinion, but I don't know.
I was actually going to say that. That's why I was like, you go first with your unpopular opinion.
Unpopular opinion, hey.
The only reason, I get where you're coming from. The only reason I don't know is just because most of the time, when queer-identifying people need to come out prior to, there is a pressure. There is a very almost like literal like pressure on your shoulders. It's almost like you can't breathe, you can't sleep. You feel like you're living a lie.
Yeah.
And the thing is that those emotions are valid.
Super valid, yeah.
And I mean, so I wonder if maybe it's a little of column A and a little of column B.
Perhaps.
Is for you and for other people. Because I think people, because what happens when, you know, if someone finds out, you know, because they catch you, I know for gay men, you know, like someone finds out because they catch you in bed or they catch you in the throes of your lover somehow.
Yeah,
you know what I'm
scandal,
saying?
Scandal, you know,
and
like holding your boyfriend's hand.
Right.
Your aunt, whatever,
saw you
holding some boy's hand.
Right, and
it's
I,
like,
you know, so it's like, I think it's about, one, it's about the power to be able to say, this is my choice to tell you.
Yeah, I get that.
And, get that. You know,
rather than someone outing you and being like, you were this, and I saw you, and really, in your head, you're like, well, I don't really care what you think about that. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you also...
But I mean, and there's some people that you do.
The control is taken from you.
And I would also say that validation, like you said, is a good point. But I would also say that not all valid... Like, the need for validation from, like, you know, a psychological standpoint isn't necessarily bad.
Hmm.
I actually was just talking to my therapist about that. But... It's not necessarily a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually pretty normal for mm-hmm. people. But at the same time, anything can be made toxic.
That's true. Yeah.
So
yeah.
What I wrote some note here just to kind of, to maybe say how I can kind of agree with you. I wrote here, society in a way forces the need to come out.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying about it being a social construct.
Right. We come out for us, but the social need is possibly imposed upon us.
Yeah, I think that's
so. Like the social effects. It's interesting because, like I said, that's why I think it's kind of a little nature and a little nurture. Mm-hmm. Kind of, it's a little bit us and a little bit of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing is that I think most queer people want to one day live in a world where you get to just go to your family Christmas and be like, "Hey, this is my partner." And they're like, "Oh, right. Hi. You know, how are you? Come eat." And it doesn't have to be like, you know, people when you walk past them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, also, like, being trans, too, because, like, I'm in a difficult situation because I haven't started hormones. I haven't had any surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
I think I pass kind of well until I talk, but I'm sort of like going through this thing where it's like I'm being introduced to people as Jay, as Jason, and he, and then everyone's like, "Well, how do I address him?" Well, you answered your own question. It's right. Him. It's he. You know.
Right.
But like I understand their. Here's the thing. I understand their discomfort because they haven't been, you know, around a trans person. They've never met a trans person. But honestly, it's not that difficult, though. No. All at the same time, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, well, the pronouns are he because he said so. So that's
right.
That's how that goes.
Right, right. You know,
versus
I think,
like, you know, if you meet like a gay person, if you met a gay person for the first time, it's not like you don't sit there and you're like, so.
How do gay people have sex?
Yeah, it's just like, so you have a boyfriend. Yeah.
How's that work?
How do you have sex? It's like, why do you care?
Yeah, why do you care? Why is it your business?
Or it's like, so you're a guy.
Who's the man, who's the woman?
Well, not that. Well, so you're a lesbian. Who's the man? That's the thing that cracks me up.
Yeah,
who's the man who's in the relationship?
Yeah. I'm sure you get it, too.
Yeah.
Who's the man, who's the woman?
Yeah.
It's always defined by that heteronormative binary.
Yeah, or also like, oh, well, you're a trans guy, like, so do you have a dick or nah? As usually how that goes, and it's like, first of all, it's none of your business. Second of all, it's none of your business. Thank you, have a nice day. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you don't want to be, I guess it's, I struggle because I don't want to be rude.
No.
Even though what they're asking is actually fucking rude.
Right, but a lot of them, I realize, don't know that they're being rude.
But that's the thing. They don't know that they're being rude. So I feel like there's sort of this, like, you know, do I tell them that they're being rude? Like, how do I... I'm still learning how to navigate those situations.
Mm, me
but,
too, sometimes.
But definitely, like, the concept of coming out, I struggle with it a lot.
Yeah, I
because
know.
Of the social construct of it and just what it means to me. And because there's just some people who it's just brutal. It's brutal for them.
It is.
And I feel for them. I can't say I sympathize, right? But I can empathize. That's not right.
You can sympathize and empathize. I mean, you're queer.
Yeah. My parents weren't like, oh, you're gay, get out. You know, it wasn't like that.
Oh, I see what you mean. Well,
for some people, they do experience
that. I think the reason I would say that maybe you could is because you're not out to your parents in fear of that.
Yeah, probably.
You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You?
Because I don't want them, I don't live with them, but I don't want them to write me out of their life.
Right.
But also at the same time, I'm like, they don't really contribute a whole lot to my life. But it's just that fear of loss.
Yeah. I mean, no one wants to lose their parents.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's true. It's very true.
Especially for something that's so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a big thing, but like, in the scope of life, it's not. You know
right.
what I'm trying to get at?
Yeah. But then also, like, when you're talking about coming out, like, as a witch or as pagan or whatever, you know, I feel like that same concept still applies. You're just looking for, like, I practice witchcraft, and no, it's not evil, and, you know, there's not Satan involved, and you have to, like, put, like, 1,000 disclaimers on, like, your
well,
coming out experience.
That a lot, I mean, I could probably attribute this back to the gay thing, too, but that is because, like heterosexuality, Abrahamic faith is default.
Yeah,
heterosexuality
is
default.
Yeah.
Abrahamic faith is default. So, like, you know, when you're
white,
like,
Anglo-Saxon, Protestant,
yeah.
you know, that WASP, that whole thing, that's default.
And also very racist. Don't say that.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not saying you. I just mean other people.
Yeah.
But, or not racist, but bigoted. I don't know.
Yeah.
Words. However, it's, you know, when it comes to that, it's just because, like, do you ever end up in an awkward situation when it comes to witchcraft where, like, everyone's kind of like, okay, we're going to pray? Like, you ever go over a friend's house and the family's Christian, they pray before dinner?
Yes.
And you're kind of like...
Yes.
God has blessed this food. I know. This is so wrong. I'm so sorry. Oh, my God. And, like...
Bless these cakes and all the hands seen and brought them to us. Like, I do cakes and ale in my head. That's basically my my standard go-to before food prayer. You know, bless this meal and all the hands seen and unseen that have brought them to us.
I do this
and
thing
too. You know, I want to like take my knife, you know,
like, your butter knife.
I laugh. I mean, like I laugh about it, but like in my head, I'm like,
it's a little uncomfortable.
It is a little uncomfortable.
I mean, not intentionally.
But it's nice that like it's not. Honestly, if I go to someone's house and they are praying before dinner, I'm like, bless, because not a lot of people that I know. Do that.
Yeah.
We just recently started doing it with our coven.
Yeah.
Before, like, we would do cakes and ale after like, the ritual. Mm-hmm. But we'd come in here and we'd be like, food! You know what I mean? Like, because we were just so hungry, but we didn't take time. Like, we got out of that,
being ritual. Thankful for what we have.
Yeah, we got out of that mindset. I mean, we were just hungry. It just became food.
Yeah. I mean, but I kind of like that we're doing it, only because I like the idea of respecting... the food. I mean, we're not vegetarian. So, like, I like the idea of still respecting the spirit of the animals that we're consuming and things like that. And,
also, like, this is a little bit of a tangent, but, like, the mindfulness of eating in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice.
But,
which is something you don't see often. So when you go to a family's house and they're, like, doing a prayer, you're like, well, this is nice, but I'm also hella awkward about it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm like, Lord and Lady. You know, they're like, God, and I'm like, my goddess. You know.
And it's funny, because for me, I do this, like, in situations like that, I would actually say, you know, I would kind of basically address their deity and say, you know, empower their prayer, bless their food, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I am a pretty hard polytheist. Mm-hmm. So, like, for me, I'm like, sure, the Abrahamic God exists. I might not always agree with...
Like, he is one of many gods that exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it kind of, yeah. So I'm like, you know, do the thing, you know. Yeah. That's
true.
That's how I see it. But, so it really is, as far as,
but
like...
But do you ever feel...
Yeah.
Like, when people do know... Like, supposedly, like a more conservative Christian family that you're at their house. Do you ever feel like when they do know that you are queer or a witch or some type of other that they kind of, do you ever get it in your head? And this is probably my own anxiety, but like that they kind of play, they kind of kick it up a notch, they kind of play up their own Christianness.
Oh
more.
My God! I mean, now
I'm not
haven't...
I'm not attacking Christians. I'm just saying it could be me. It could all be in my head. I don't know. But it feels that way.
We're not attacking good Christians, but Christians who force it down, like, force it on you, I have no problem being harsh towards.
Right, because it's just, it's no bueno.
Yeah.
Can't be doing that.
Not that I've ever been in a household like that, per se. It's more like been on the street where, like, they find out I'm queer and they're kind of like, oh,
God,
you know,
God
bless
you. God loves
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and that's how they start like, to, like, if I see them again, like, they kind of... will up that.
Yeah, like, they kind of...
And I'm like, ah, thank you, you know.
Like, I know he does, thanks.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, that, you know, and it's funny, I actually have a situation like that with the witchcraft thing.
No.
Coming back from Pagan Pride Day, the year I got my stang.
Yeah, that wasn't last year.
The year before. Coming back with Darian, one of my neighbors, she was like, oh, what are you doing, fishing? And I was like, no, coming back from Pagan Pride Day. And she's like the biker gang? And I'm like...
I know, I always get that.
No, not at all, like, the biker gang. I was like,
or when people pronounce pagan like pegan. That drives me nuts, too. Oh, the pagans, the biker gang? And I'm like, no.
No, it's pagan and no.
I'd rather just be like... the Wiccans, you know, the weird crystal people. Like, I'd rather just them be like, oh, the weird crystal people that are, like, crystal magic and stuff. Yeah, them. The nice jewelry. That's one of me.
But I was like, oh no, you know, it's paganism, like witchcraft and magic. And she was like,
oh my God.
Well, the thing that pissed me off was I liked her before this. She turns to Darian and goes, did he get you into this? And I was like, Darian looks at me.
Oh.
And I was like, bitch, I'm about to hit you with this.
For the people that don't know Darian.
That's my boyfriend.
Yeah, one but day you'll meet he him. Is also our token black guy, basically. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
he is.
So you two are a biracial or, you know, interracial couple.
Interracial couple. Interracial couple. We are.
Biracial, whatever.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah, interracial couple. So, like, oh, so no wonder she thought, because, like, she thought it was, like, voodoo or some
well,
shit.
Well, they automatically think it's a cult. Even my uncle argued
yeah,
with
but
me
like,
once.
Statistically it's a, speaking, it's white people who really do the cult thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, like...
Yeah, I mean, but, I, like, yeah, I mean, and also, I mean, like, by literal definition, all religions are a cult.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
It's not for here.
Not we're going to do this. That. But anyway, I've been through that even with the religious things. So, I mean, people are incredibly biased. If you are not the norm, the second you other yourself, the second you acknowledge that you were other,
yes,
people are going to have their biases. So,
right out the gate.
So do we come out, whether for with religion or sexuality or gender identity, for them or for us, yes. However, we also have to take upon the responsibility of knowing that when we do that, the potential for a negative outcome. I've been stopped on the street and called names. Me and Darian together, times with my ex. I had one guy say, I don't understand how men, two handsome men, can be holding hands when there's so many other when there's so many beautiful women they could be with.
Because they don't want the women.
Right.
How that works.
Right. But I've been told that.
Yeah.
Because the idea was that we couldn't find the right woman.
Oh, yeah.
So
I mean,
we found each
I
other.
I get that.
Which is weird
know?
Because I always thought that was more of like a lesbian thing. So things said
yeah.
lesbian
no,
identified
I,
women.
No, I get that. Like, I get like you haven't found the right man, but now I also get like you're not a real man and you'll never be.
Right.
Like that. I know that they're assholes, but like hearing that
it
is
hurts.
So much harder to hear than you haven't found the right man. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm like, please. Like.
And, you know, it's funny because
I know what I like. Thank you.
Right.
Yeah.
And I try to tell people, you know, like, that as you get older, you kind of...
Oh, you learn to filter.
However, I would
off.
Also argue it still hurts.
Oh, yeah. Like,
you learn more how just to not, like, to move past it than to not feel it. It's not that you're not feeling the sting of it because someone's calling you names or telling you something that they're, I always say they impose themselves into your life when
yeah.
they're not wanted there.
Exactly. Like if you're walking on the street and like for me, I get like, what is that? I hear that. What is that? And I just want to turn around and be like, something that's going to deck you in the face. Like every part of me is just like, I'm cool. I'm fine.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. Internally. I'm on fire.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean,
externally,
those are,
cool as a cucumber.
Those are completely normal responses.
And they're
and
valid.
It's okay, and they're completely valid.
I mean, also, the other reaction is, I feel like it's valid, too. Like, if you were to turn around and be like, I am a person, I am a human being, you are a piece of shit motherfucker, that's also valid, but I don't think that's going to get you anywhere.
This is just a little stop. If you're coming here to, like, have, like... They're just going to be curse words. It's going to be...
Oh, yeah, I mean...
We will be cursing. And just so you know. Okay.
But yeah.
We've cursed a lot.
Yeah, yeah. It's not those kinds of curses. You won't find those here, maybe.
Thinking about something, but we'll get to that.
So, yeah, like, you know, I feel like both of those reactions are valid. You know, I feel like if you were to turn around and just be like, you're a piece of shit.
That's
valid. For saying that, that's also valid. Mm-hmm. I'm just not that kind of person. I don't want to waste my energy.
Right.
Yeah.
So to get back to what I was saying and to maybe start to wrap this up,
mm-hmm.
Once you other yourself, there is going to be someone there to try to counter you. something. Yeah. No, not someone, but something as well. Like a social idea.
Yeah.
Or no, you know,
try to counter you nicely or negatively.
Right. Right. And it's going to be there. So I would say that maybe coming out queer or coming out of the broom closet, you have to understand. You have to, one, know your shit. Know who you are.
Yeah.
Know your stuff. Know your religion if it's about religion. Know about queer history if it's about queer history, queer rights, etc. And then you're able to maybe better take on the responsibility of saying, hey, I am other. I am different.
Slamming the table.
Slamming the table. I'm sorry. I'm passionate. And Italian. Very Italian.
We know.
Yeah. And then you're able to take on that responsibility.
Absolutely. I completely agree. But yeah, I mean, I think that kind of wraps up our coming out conversation is, you know, we have differing opinions on why we come out and why we do it. And, you know, we had similar experiences. I think overall it was fine for our coming outs. It was both mm-hmm. a witch and, you know, as queer. But, you know, other people have different experiences, which, I mean, if you know, when we do upload this and everyone sees this and watches this and listens to it, I mean, if you want to leave some sort of comments about your own coming out, that would be awesome, just to
yes.
to share those stories and just to get people's inputs on.
Plus, also just to get to know us. We are
yeah.
incredibly chill people.
Oh, yeah.
We don't mind, like, making new friends and talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
That'd
yeah, I mean,
fun.
The whole point is just to have a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we can talk for, we could probably do like 100 podcasts on just coming out, but it would probably be us rehashing the same points.
Over and over and over
like,
again.
Like old men at a bar, like,
yeah.
You know, whatever, try to keep it succinct. But yeah, so if you guys like want to just leave like any comments or share any stories about coming out, or just share this podcast with someone or the video, however you're viewing or listening to this, you know, just share this with someone who might find some use to this conversation, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we will see you guys in the next episode.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
Hello, everyone. Scott here. I've been reading tarot for over 10 years. I am an intuitive reader, and through my readings, I try to give guidance to aid my clients in navigating their lives. To schedule a reading with me, you can find me on Facebook at Witchwise Seer and Witch. You can also find me over on Instagram and Tumblr with the handle Witchwise, spelled WYTCHWYSE. You can find links to all of my social media in the show notes. I hope to hear from you.